Good Shepherd Sermon for Sunday, July 12th, 2020. Pastor Paul Talberg.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church and School is located in Wisconsin Rapids, Wisconsin, in the United States. Our mission is simple and bold. We seek to grow in faith and knowledge of our Savior Jesus. We want to make him known to others so that they too may share the joys that Jesus has won for them. Here's Pastor.
This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. God's word for our meditation is that portion from Matthew chapter 10. Comes up every 3 years in the readings of in the series of readings that we use. And what that means is that through the course of 3 years, using the liturgical readings, we will go through every main teaching of God's word. It was an incredible, a well-thought-out plan, this liturgical plan for readings. It's from Matthew chapter 10. Before I read it again, just remember, Jesus is teaching his people law and gospel, sin and grace. So you're going to hear a whole bunch of references to the first commandment. You shall have no other gods. And what does this mean? We should fear, love, and trust in God above all things. From Matthew chapter 10, do not think that I came to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I came to turn a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies would be the members of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Whoever receives you receives me. Whoever receives me receives him who sent me. And whoever receives a prophet, because he is a prophet, will receive a prophet's reward. Whoever receives a righteous man, because he's a righteous man, will receive a righteous man's reward. Whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of cold water to drink because he is my disciple, amen, I tell you, he will never lose his reward. So for our reading, may the words of my mouth and the thoughts of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our defender. Amen. I'm praying that these words will kind of shake you a little bit. I'm praying that it will cause you to say, and then during the week, strike up a conversation about this sermon on God's word that when you first hear it, it just kind of shakes you to the core. We have been growing up in American culture, which really promotes Jesus coming to earth as a baby, right? A baby in Bethlehem, Christmas time, peace on earth, and not knowing that he's not talking about a physical peace at all. He's talking about a peace between God and man. But we get all confused about that because we get all caught up in the day. We get all caught up in the fighting and the violence. We get all caught up in opinions one way or the other. We get all caught up in stuff. We might even get caught up in worry or anger or disgust or confusion. Whatever it is, when you're all caught up in things, what happens is, and the person that you're talking with is going to have the same feelings. They might be trying to think, man, God is really mad at me. How can I make God happy? God is mad at me. My health is going down the tubes. How can I make God happy? God is mad at me. My finances have evaporated. God must be mad at me. How can I make God happy? This pandemic is going on way too long. God's mad at planet Earth. How can I make God happy? This part of God's word lets us know there's two ways to go. How can I make God happy? First way is keep all of the commandments perfectly. Second way is trust that Jesus has done that for you and receive his gift of heaven. Now, just so you know, the first way, keep all the commandments of God perfectly. Everybody likes that way. Because, well, I like to have something to do with getting myself into heaven. But God has a criteria for heaven, and the criteria is perfection, which means no sin, nothing bad. You already know from that beginning part that in relationships and families, there's a tendency to elevate one or the other even over what God says in his word. But that doesn't apply to me, right? God says to be holy because he, the Lord, our God, is holy. Do good perfectly all the time and make God happy. How do I make God happy? God looks at us and he says, ah, dirty thoughts again. Dirty mouth, dirty words, dirty ears, loving to listen to gossip, loving to spread it around. Impatient. Wicked thoughts coming up in your mind. God says that is sin. Sin means you don't get into heaven. So if I'm going to make God happy by being good, I cannot do it. And the scripture is really clear about that. The thoughts of our hearts are only evil all the time. And God is dead serious about sin. Because of the sin and the violence and the rebellion against him, he wiped the planet clean with the great flood during Noah's day. He's not going to do another flood. He said the next time he comes, it's the last day, and everything's going to be burned up in a holy fire. How do you and I know that we're going to go home to heaven on that last day? How do I know that I can make God happy? I just got through sharing with you that God says you can't make him happy by doing good, by your performance. You can't make him happy by your pedigree, where you come from, and you can't make him happy by your position. That's a really hard thing to get around people's minds and their hearts. I remember counseling an older woman when I was first starting out in the ministry. She really wanted to be a pastor because she shared with me that she wanted to be holy and have all the blessings that pastor's going to have in heaven when God says, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joys prepared for you. And I had to share with her. I said, well, you know what? Speaking as your pastor, I'm not holy. I don't meet that criteria that you think I do. And then I pointed her to this part of God's word because she was convinced that she was not good enough. And no matter what she did, it was not going to matter. So I said, guess what? The Lord says that if you receive a prophet, because he's God's prophet, you receive that prophet's reward. And she paused for a little. She was a student of God's word. And she said, you mean by just being a godly Christian person, God counts me as okay? I said, not just okay, you're a family member. You're treasured. It's not your pedigree. It's not your position. It's not your performance. God says, I've saved you by grace. I love you. And we have a really hard time wrapping our heads around that, but that is absolute truth. God loves you. And there is nothing that you can do that will make him love you less. And there's nothing you can do to make him love you more. He is just, God is love. Another scripture passage. So how can I make God happy? That's the question we ask, right? Well, we don't make God happy by trying to get into heaven. We make God happy, how? By saying thank you for all the wonderful things you've done for us. Not to make you get us into heaven, but to share with others the great things that you have done because you want it for all people. You desire that all people be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. And I know the truth. The truth is that as a sinner, I don't deserve a single drop of mercy. The truth is, as a sinner, I do not deserve to walk into heaven. And the amazing truth is that because of your life and your death on the cross, Jesus, My sins have been washed away in your lifeblood. And Jesus, that means that there's one more truth that people need to know. That heaven is not only open, but we're going to go there because of what you've done for us. That is good news. Now, you might occasionally run across that mind in your own mind saying, well, you know, I don't know. I'm feeling an awful lot of pressure. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do that. And you might start to pile up things on yourself, and you might wonder, is God getting you? Is God getting back at you? When you're in the hospital room all by yourself, is God getting back at you? When you hear that news from on the phone, is God getting back at you? When you find out about your job and it's kind of, is God getting back at you? You say, no, no, this is part of God's plan. I don't know God's plan. I'm not God. But I do know the God who holds his plan. And that God lived and died for me. That God wants me to be with him in heaven. And that God has said, I am your Father in heaven. So how can you make God happy? You trust him that he did that. Trust him for Jesus' sake, who so loves you. Amen.